It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
As I'm going to take my calls in a minute, but I'm looking when I publish this book, How to Conquer Negative Emotions. I'm not going to publish anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's going to be on Kindle Schmindle or, you know, something like that. But How to Control Your Negative Emotions, for copyright 1995, 1988, and 1975, and it was written in the 60s. But I'm into science a lot, and I've discovered stuff. And I've always wanted to be, you know, I thought of myself as a doctor, but I couldn't make it because my father died and money went to my brother who got a degree and I didn't. But I am where I am because I, my love of learning and discovering things. And I can see in this chapter where I start to talk about science a little bit, which is what I write about today, which is much more, well, I've got a book called Finding God in Physics. It was 15 years ago. And then I've written some thesis on some very heavy stuff. But here's my the theme. As I get into this book, I can't help but put a little bit of that science in here. And I've, of course, listen to it. Understanding the Word Made Flesh is page 119 of How to Conquer Negative Emotions. The title of this chapter is not a metaphor. It is meant literally. Understanding is knowledge made live. And it's only this living form that's ultimately useful to man. Knowledge that is separated from awareness of its source is dead, and far from being desirable, is a great deal of source of harm, in that it offers a counterfeit of reality to man that he was created to seek. Then I say it this way. Out of the original stillness came the hurricane of material creation. Out of the timeless center came the movement, the primal energy of time. And out of time came light and matter, and mass of matter lagging in the stream. That's what happens, really. Became matter for space and created things to move in time. The universe is an architect of God's creative genius, and man is God's personalized expression of himself, the visible material reflection of his invisible spiritual self. The material body of man, the living counterpart of the soul created in God's image, was assembled by the creative gathering of the power of the silk stole like iron filings round a magnet. Even as the heavens and earth were spoken into creation, generated from his eternal stillness, so our Creator breathed life, his divine identity, to the still soul child of himself. The soul of man belongs in, but does not rightfully belong to this earthy realm. It belongs to the Creator of all realms. The body was formed around the soul like metal filings around a magnet, or out of dust and the elements of the earth, as the dust gathers and rays of, in the form of the sun, a spectacle both material and inferior, so does part heaven, part earth, a man. Creation was to have been the setting for the level wherein the express purpose of creation was to live and venture through time and space, being eternally renewed in an endless adventure of discovery in the universe, living endlessly as God lives eternally. The purpose of the soul's adventure would have been to observe and to learn of God, to witness and marvel the immensity of his creative genius, and to forever be mindful of his grandeur and his greatness, and by that mindfulness and worship to receive his sustaining approval, that is, everlasting life, for an endless voyage of perfection through discovery, eternally renewed and awakened in the soul through the awareness of the Creator. Then something occurred that disturbed the stillness of man's soul, and it goes on like that. Let me see. Then let me just jump forward a little bit. What assurance do we have other than the external evidence, such as says Scripture, that we can be reconciled and restored to the original state? That is awareness. Our assurance is the simple fact that we are made aware that we exist in an imperfect way. How can you truly be aware of the cause of your imperfection and remain imperfect? You cannot. See, here we go. It comes into the point. But by remaining unaware of the faulty existence, not wanting to face your faults, A soul cannot mend its way, and pride proceeds from birth to death, unwilling to be aware of its original failing. Its only awareness of its own glory is based on excitement and false knowledge, and false knowledge is ignorance. And so it goes on like that. Living knowledge, which is understanding, is being aware not only of the word and the meaning, but of the world, but the word also the process that reveals that meaning, and thus the very spirit itself. Such awareness is the true understanding, the word made flesh in you. In other words, understanding and intellect. Intellect is the monkey, and the awareness is what makes the monkey human. Now, this is the best I can do, and I rattled that off too fast, but you can get a copy of the book. All right, we'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
And we're going to go to our calls right away. And 800-866-8883. And we got Teresa. Hello, Teresa.
Hello. How are you, Mr. Masters?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I guess maybe what I wanted to chat with you about, and I think I'm driven to call you, and I've been listening to you for quite a while, and I've been doing the meditation exercise. Sometimes I fall away from it, and then things start to fall apart again.
Isn't that amazing, isn't it?
Yes, and then in the last couple of weeks, I've been really consistent in the morning and the evening. And things are starting to come together a little bit. But one of the things you've been talking about in the last couple of weeks is being a bully and being a coward.
Yes.
And how we feel like we're pretty decent people, but it's as if I have this animal inside of me.
Yes.
And
I do understand.
I really felt driven. You know, I've been telling myself, "You need to call. You need to call. You need to call." And, you know, each time I find an excuse or a reason.
Well, who are you the bully to?
Well, right now, I'm very ashamed to admit this, but I'm a teacher. And
Well, that's a good place to be a good bully.
Well, you know, it's not.
It's pretty safe.
They're little kids. Well, I don't know. They're pretty good at coming back at you.
Good for them.
You know,
but coming back at you isn't a good thing, because all you're doing is when you get kids to respond and come back at you, that doesn't mean to say that they're tough. It means they've become like you. They want to climb over
I
you.
Know.
See?
I know.
And then they're becoming like you.
I know, and I hear you talk about that, and I realize I need to at least acknowledge this.
Yeah, that's good.
And you know, and share it with you.
I tell you what you should do.
People who are listening.
I think it's a very good subject. I think, how old are the children listening?
They're about 10.
Look, at 10 years old, I got lots of 10-year-old grandchildren, and very intelligent. As a matter of fact, I've got one that's 18 months. He's just beginning to talk. But mm-hmm. I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old, and you won't believe that when you talk to them, they're absolutely like they're 50 years old and perfectly mature and understand perfectly mm-hmm. and can talk to them just like I'm talking to you right now. I don't have to raise my voice and lower my side. This dear, no dear. You know, that's sweet. How nice. You know, not like that. So, but we talk. You know, man to man, because they're both boys. And where I was going with that now, oh dear, whenever I go off a track, I lose the trend of thought. What you should do is to talk to your class. Now, if you can't change, it's only because you've done something wrong to the kids in that class and you feel ashamed and you want to make it good. And by trying to make it good, the kids see the weakness.
Yes, that's exactly.
And that, that ticks you off, you see, and then off you go again.
Yeah.
So you set the stage. You set the stage like being married, you see. So I would say that something, let it see if it comes to you naturally. Wait for it. Don't do it because I said so. But just listen to the thought. And it's got to come natural. It's sort of like, it has to slide out of you like, you know, Excel-X, you know, it has to, like your diarrhea. You can't help yourself. It has to be like that. So when you least expect it. I don't know if I can use any more metaphors. But no, and it can't be in a fit of anger, you know. So what you need to say to the class is, look, I have to apologize to the class. What do you mean? What's wrong with the teacher? No. It's very important that when you do things wrong, you admit it to yourself. And I'm a grown-up, and I should know better that I have tried to make you love me so that you'll be good kids. And you rebel against that. So that's why you don't respect me. And quite correct. I'm not respectable. If I try to manipulate you to learn and to like me, that's a weakness. And you see that. I have to tell you, I'm going to change now. I have to confess this to you. That's not very mature of a woman as old as me. I should know better, but I didn't. You've responded to that. You've tried. You went. But you show your contempt when I get to be a bully and start to push you. And when you start to see that I'm a phony, and you start, you can talk like this to them. You've got to find a way of gently talking to them. I can see why when I get to the point where I can't get you by niceness, I get you by being strong with you. And right. I'm not authority. I'm not your authority. You'd respond differently if I was a real person, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and you'd respond to your mom and dad if your mom and dad weren't being sweet and nice and your dad wasn't mean. You would want to see a person's spirit and their soul, don't you? You'd respond, you say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'd be happy to do that. Well, I want you to help me become that person. I'm not going to be that way anymore. And what you have to do is set the pace. The next time Johnny starts to be rude to you, say, Johnny, remember what the conversation we had just now? See, I'm different now. I'm not being mean. And if you carry on like that anymore, I'm going to have to send you to the principal's office. Or you have to stand outside until you come, until you see what you've done. And you'll find a way. It's natural. If I had your class, I could walk into your classroom and everybody they'd be different.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's been a challenging class. And
well, yeah, but the trouble is, nothing's a challenge to me. I'm the challenge to everyone because everyone in their ego state wants me to love them. I'm a famous person. They want me to love them. I don't. I don't love them the way they want me to love them. I love them by not loving them the way they want me to love them. And then they get frustrated and they get angry with me. And that doesn't help either. In other words, I'm always staying true to myself. If you like me too much, I don't have contempt. If you're mean to me, I don't have contempt. If my children are naughty, I don't get angry with them. I wait them to get over it. And if I wait for them to get over it, that's love. If I wait for them to get over trying to manipulate me to buy a bicycle, and just quietly remind them, I said, I don't get you the bicycle because you manipulated me to get it. And it's not going to work in real life. And if it does, you're going to become a parasite.
Oh, wow.
See that?
Well,
and your government is a parasite. Everybody in the Senate is a parasite. They live off our inability to say no to them.
Right.
They feel safe there. But they're also very weak. Being safe is very weak.
Well, I feel like I'm very much a coward, too. And
you are. Of course you are, because anger makes fear.
Yes, and hearing you say it, you know, over and over and over again in your program, I just thought, you know what, I need to talk to this. I need to own this. And
Close your eyes. Yeah. Look at your eyelids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see that sparkle? The eyelids, the forehead sparkles right in front of your eyelids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See that sparkling? There's no thoughts there, is there?
No.
Oh, could you hear my voice?
Yes, sir.
Well, you hear my voice now. Can you make your fingers tingle a little bit while I'm talking to you?
Yes.
Now, you know what I'm doing? I can tell you, but you won't feel anything. It's like surgery. You've been anesthetized, in a sense. It's like that, except there's nothing used. Your consciousness sits outside your body and is no longer a part of your machinery. Therefore, I can tell you a very simple truth, and you can believe it. And this truth was delivered 2,000 years ago and still remains to every person born that wants freedom from hell on this earth. God forgives you. He has pre-forgiven you. All you have to do is believe that. That's simply a purview of the spirit. In other words, you can be very gullible with your subconscious mind, with your physical. You can be easily manipulated through that mind by the power of words and the power of being upset and the power of struggle. But the part I'm talking to you now understands this. And if you believe me, that what I'm saying is true, and if you believe I'm real, then you are now relieved of all the past, and the mind has no charge over you at all, but you have now charge over your mind, because God has charge over you. You accept his forgiveness, then you have given up all making of any choice. In other words, from this day forward, you will see light unto your feet, and you won't have to make a decision. You'll know in the moment whether to turn left, to turn right, to speak or not speak. But you're not going to be upset with anybody or anything, nor are you to feel high when people compliment you or angry when people debase you. You will stand. Do you see that? And that's how you will face your class. And that's how you will face the world forever.
And that's how I want to live. That's how
you endure to the end. You hold fast to that idea that there's no need to struggle, and all you have to do is when a thought comes up to your mind, well, one that's not been, that needs attention, watch the thought until it goes away, but don't let the thought challenge you like a naughty little kid, and you're trying to put it in its place because it won't work. Just watch it.
At those times, is it a good idea to close my eyes and look at my eyelids?
It's really there's no need for it, because when you do that meditation, you can sit in the park bench. You could sit quietly in your car while you're waiting for the traffic light. It only takes 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Watch for that little tingling in your body is new energy coming in. You have a new master when you have that tingling.
Thank you. I like that. Thank you.
That's your secret treasure. Yeah. Nobody else understood what I just told you.
Oh. Well,
like I wish they would.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Right,
bye. All right. Now, how many people would like to go to my website and order Be Still and Know? You will notice the website's different. I am, out of survival instinct on this earth, going to put the prices up so high you won't be able to afford them, that you're going to have to borrow money in order to get anything. That's because I'm tired of giving it to you cheap and free. I'm not doing you any good at all to cheapening my work, trying to give it to you, because I've always had a sense that the truth should be free. On the radio is as free as you can get. And if you don't like my work, don't support it. If you do like my work and I help you, support it. Otherwise, if you don't, you can go to hell. I mean, I don't mean to say that in a sense to frighten you, but there's a certain gratitude. You have a gratitude when people give you good sex, or give you, and you do a little performance, and you do something nice, and people love you for it. You become actress or something, and that's then you perform even more for them, and people have gratitude towards you and give you money and make sure you're rich, and you keep on doing a soft shoe for all of the miserable creatures out there who need you to perform like that, to be a puppet to their pleasures, their gratifications. That's what's going on in this world. So now I come along and say, you are appointing the wrong people. You've done such harm to yourself and your country that you've almost elected your freedom away. Because you're a personality cult. That's what you are. So therefore, you have to suffer for that. Because everyone you put on a person pedestal, you give them power over you. And when you hate that person, you give them more power over you. Or you become like that person to another person, and you do unto others what's done unto you, because you learn how, when you don't know how to get over the person who got on top of you and degraded you. So how do you get your life force back? By stealing the innocence from another person. By being frustrated with your kids. And venting your spleen, thinking you're doing them good. You're not. You're killing them. So, what you need to do is find that little energy, that little strength from within you that seals you off. Now, when I say seals you up, it doesn't make you numb. Numbness is when your body is so overreactive that it has to shut down lest you die. It has to do what your conscience, you don't let your conscience do. If you listen to your conscience, you will be imbued with the power not to let things bother you, and then you'll be master of every situation. I don't care if you're in the Gulag concentration camp, you still be master of what goes on there. And your guards will know it and hate you for it and torture you for it. It still won't get the better of you. I mean, just before you die, you might save a few, sue the people that are torturing you. Because that's where it's coming. But if you can find the truth while you're still free, and give up your anger so you can find your voice, and object when in a proper way rather than stuffing it down or getting angry and expressing it with venom. You know, yes, you got a big mouth, yes, you tell people what you think, but you don't improve their lot nor your own. All right, so while you're still free, you need to find the truth that makes you free. It's what you can't figure anything out with that pea brain. I don't care if you got 10 PhDs and a doctorate. It's just a monkey brain. It's just more capacity than a monkey, than a gorilla. You're one step higher than that. But in that sense, you're lower than them because you should know better to be a gorilla. You know, to live by the laws of nature. And the laws of nature for a man are not natural. And there is the ruler of the unnatural within you. We need to understand this. And it's not just psychology. It's something deeper than that. It is a fidelity to him who created us, and failing that, your life will go from bad to worse, and there is no cure. And you will always be drawn to the worst kind of people, and they will make you feel better, but every time you feel better, you actually get worse. Feeling better is a lie. Anybody who makes you feel better is a liar. Don't compliment me if I tell you I make you feel better. If I help make you better, yes, you feel better, but I didn't make you feel better first. I make you better. I help to make you better by delivering you to that which can. And that's within you. It's your conscience. My conscience bears witness to the fact that you have one. And it bears witness to the fact that you are made to think that conscience is an enemy because you listen to your lower mind, where Beliah rules. It makes you think that your thinking is your thinking, and there is no God, or it's an unfair God, an unjust God, or what it makes you doubt what you know is right and believe. It seems like the belief in what's wrong is stronger than the belief in what's right. You have a good idea, and it gets whisked away, and you end up doing the wrong thing. You know you're about to marry someone, they're not good for you, but you know they're wrong for you, but yet something makes you, some little mischievous thing makes you marry them. And then, come on now. There's a way of, there's a way of making choices. There's a way of it that is a gift. You don't have to make them. Be rest assured. Be at rest and be assured that you will know when you need to know and not a minute before. There's no planning and scheming and no one can figure you out. Go figure me out. I can't figure me out and I don't try. It just works. And it's a law. It's a system of laws within me. And they're activated. The longer I live, the more they're activated. And the stronger I become as a man, as a soul, as a father, as a husband, and your friend. All right. Now we take a call. Mary. Hello, Mary, in Georgia.
Hey, Roy. I have a question about the meditation.
Sure, go ahead.
Exercise. Okay. Well, I'm 22 years old, and I was diagnosed with social anxiety disorder.
That's not a disease. That's only a spiritual problem. I can tell you what that is. I can tell you what the root of that is. It's, well, typically it's based in resentment. You have to decide what that is, parents, school, pressure of some kind. You can tell me, you pick one. Tell me what you're upset about all the time. That's all, just all you have to do that. And don't tell me you're not upset about stuff, because I know you are. Upset is the reason why you have anxiety, and no other reason. Unless the doctor could tell you that you have a physical problem, if it's just anxiety, it's a conflict between what you are becoming and what you could be as a real person. And it can't be a real person until you drop your anger towards everything without being a coward.
Right.
See?
That's what I can't think of anything that I'm angry about. But
how about irritated, upset, annoyed, aggravated? Try those categories.
Aggravated.
How about everyday life, boring, irritating, aggravating? People make fun of you, betray you. Pick something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have the perfect life. Now that, if you had the perfect life and everybody was good to you, that'd be a reason for anxiety too.
Because
it means you're spoiled, and when you're spoiled, you don't find any strength growing in yourself. You're dependent on the approval of others, and you become a nothing.
Right. I guess.
So help me with this a little bit.
Well, with interpersonal relationships, I find when...
A personal relationship, a boyfriend?
Boyfriends and friends.
Are you having sex with them?
No.
Keep away from it.
Yeah.
Keep away from it. A young man should love you for you.
Yeah.
He should not press his advantage, and you should not allow it. And don't go with a boy that presses or tries to press his advantage. He's not your friend.
Right.
That means you won't have many boyfriends, and you grow up to a nice, be a nice young lady, and you won't have any frustration because you haven't fallen from grace.
Right.
But you have fallen somewhere. You have fallen somewhere, and you're not telling me everything. You're holding back. Hold the line. Don't go away. Don't go ahead. I appreciate you calling for the first time. This is a new caller. And don't go away. I got to fill 4 minutes. All right. Yeah.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
All right. I'll give you an address so that you can have a better life. And I'm like a doctor. Not a doctor, but I'm like one. A good doctor fixes you. Broken leg, and he does a good job. You don't need him anymore. And you don't have to pay him anymore. But I'm different. It takes a long time for you even to start, very often, for most of my audience, to, because you're so tucked into your religions and your feelings and the idea that you could fix yourself and, you know, that you just figure whatever it is that's holding you back from me helping you. Because all I need to ask you is, do you ever get angry? And if you say, yes, sure, doesn't everyone, you got a problem. Because, you see, the problem is seeing emotions like being very excited and having lots of fun. But there's a right way and wrong way of doing everything. There's a right way of eating, there's a right way of having sex, and a wrong way. There's a wrong way of listening to music and right way. If you're right within yourself, you'll be able to enjoy all of these things with moderation. But if you're not, then it becomes addictive. And then you get off on it. You get look for excitement and look for anger. You get angry too easy and excited too easy and mad too easy and hungry for love and damned if you get it and damned if you don't. And so there is a little tipping point here that you need to understand. And all I want you to do is to go to my website and listen to the Be Still and Know before I take it down so you can't hear it anymore. And you have to buy it, even to listen to it. And all the prices are going to go up. So if you're going to go buy something, I mean, a book will go up to $50. I'm not printing anymore. We're going to put them up on Amazon and do the tingle? Where they go? Kindle, yeah. Kindle Schmindle. I can remember it better. I can remember it better that way. And then all the other methods of transmitting to you almost immediately, which is kind of nice, wherever you are. And so books are going out of style, but if you want to buy one of these books while they're still around, I've got a few left. I'm not going to print anymore. I'm going to do it in the modern way. And you can hear it, you can read it on your computer, you can print it out, and it'll be a lot cheaper for you. At the same time, you can go to my become a member. A member is now $120. It's going to go up to $500. And so if you get in right now, you can have everything I've got. And it's a lot. You'll be years and years and years listening to it. But it's like a city of God. You go in there, and I guarantee you'll find what you need almost immediately. And you don't have to listen to it all the time. But every now and then you pick up a book like you would. You go to the computer, got a little problem, you want an answer. Log on to FHU.com and log on to membership. And it's a year's membership. There's always be something there. It's better than TV. Better than any TV or any radio show. It's value to help you become better human being and survive the horror of things to come and not be part of it. All right, be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, hurry, hurry, hurry. Get your meditation. Don't be a fool. Okay, go to my website. 800. Call the number 800-877-3227 and get a copy of Be Still and Know and get a copy of the book How to Conquer Negative Emotions. If you can buy any book, get this one. The other one, the next one is How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. When it goes up there, it will one of these days soon. It'll have a different color, and it'll be called How Your Mind Can Make You Well. not keep you well, make you and keep you well. But you see, the mind can't do it itself. Because monkey brain can't save itself. Monkey can't save some monkey. But the spirit can save you. And you have a spirit. You have a consciousness, but that consciousness needs a master. You cannot master your body without the master who made the soul and the body and the world that the body lives in, universe. So you have to find that, your personal relationship with him, and then you know that you have it when things don't bother you anymore, and you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you fear no evil. That's it, how it feels. It feels like if people praise you, it doesn't bother you. Thank you very much, Mr. Masters. Oh, Mr. Master, you saved my life. No, I didn't. No, I guided you to him who saved you. Oh, thank you. Because the minute I take that, I fall. See, that's praise. I can't afford that. You have to be very mature to receive praise. Don't praise your children. You destroy them. Encourage them, but don't praise them. Don't, it's so beautiful. Don't do it. So it's nice, Johnny. Maybe you can do this a little here or there. Thank you, Dad. Otherwise, think it's pretty good. Put it away for a couple of days. Look at it again. See if you can't improve it yourself. Sometimes when you look at things too long, Johnny, you don't see it. Put it aside and you think it's good and it isn't. And it could be better and you won't see it for a couple of days. This is the way you talk to your children. But don't criticize them, push them to learn. And when they start to do something well, don't go, it's wonderful, it's so beautiful. Don't do it. You puff them up and you pull them away from God. You put little spirit in them called pride. And they'll be doing things for your compliments, not because it's right. You have no idea how delicate this balance is. You school teachers, you listen to what I have to say because you have great power over lots of children and you hurt them by the way you think where you're taught to teach. You were taught wrong yourself. It's about time you see it. Someone's going to tell you. All right, now we're going to go back to Mary. Now, Mary, did you have time to see? Because I can't help you if you can't see anything wrong with you, except you only see a symptom, but you don't see that there may be a cause to it, because depression is a feeling of hopelessness, and that's not healthy for a young person. If there's hopelessness, there's hope, so where did hope go?
Well, I mean, I guess that's really a big part of my problem, and this was years ago, maybe 2 years ago. I think what lies in my problem is that I'm always trying so hard, and it just ends
to
up
do what?
Getting in the way.
To do what? To please? To be good at your? To be get good grades? What is it? What is it you're trying too hard
I guess to please the
who?
People who matter to me and the people who don't even matter to me, just everyone. I feel like
I will tell you
everyone.
This is not healthy. And this if you spend your life pleasing people, you will become a miserable slavish wretch forever. Now,
yeah.
I don't say you shouldn't not care, because that's the opposite. I don't really care anymore. That's the opposite. No, it means that you shouldn't need the approval of anyone, neither should you be affected by their criticisms and degradation. You have been degraded by somebody, your parents. You've been pushed too hard and degraded, and that anger has separated you from your stature, from your sovereignty. And now you've fallen from God. His pleasure is hope in you, but you have not known that what anger has done, or resentment, secret judgments. You have a whole bunch of secret judgments, and you need to fess up to them to people. You need to say to that person, you know what? I've been seeking your approval, and I have a secret resentment toward you. I don't think I'm going to seek your approval anymore. I'm very sorry I did that to you, and I kept it a secret from you. They might find that you might have a real friend all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I got my little granddaughter. She's going around with a little girl for a little while. And it seemed like a nice girl, and she basically is, but the mother spoils her a lot. And so that, so when they have a little argument, she runs to her mother and tells a story that isn't true. And then all of a sudden, my granddaughter gets accused of something that should have been taken care of between the two of them. But mother gets in the way and takes the girl's side. So I said to her, I said, now you should not. My advice to my granddaughter is, do not have this person as a friend. And she's sobbing a little bit. See? I said, now, what you need to do, if you're really a friend, you need to say, look, I don't want to be your friend anymore, because we need to deal with this between each other, and you run off to your mom, and you don't like, if you do that, you don't love me, and you don't really care for me. You want to see me hurt. If I say something true, you get your feelings hurt, and you run to your mom every time. And then you make her think I've done something wrong to you. I haven't, so I don't want to do anything with you. And now the little girl wants to be friends with her, but my granddaughter says, no, sorry, I don't want to. And the little girl is all upset about it. That's good. Better her upset and her mother upset than her. And she's free.
Yeah.
And then she talks up to the mother too, and she holds her own.
So you're
yeah, speak your mind. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid that people hurt. I'm on the program every night. I don't care if I hurt people's feelings. It's good. You know, people, it's always about feelings. You know that. It's all about their feelings. And mother's all about mother's feelings. And children have to be careful about mother's feelings. And dad has to be careful about mother's feelings. And you have to be careful about dad's feelings. Otherwise, you're going to be in a bad mood. But the point is, you have to learn not to be affected by feelings, other people. You can't live your life by reacting angrily or cowering down to their feelings and catering to them. You're never going to be free. And so I'm going to send you a CD. You're a young girl. I'll help change the course of your life.
Is this the Be So and No CD?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I downloaded that yesterday.
Use it. Call me in a week.
Okay.
Call me in 1 week. We go from there.
Okay.
I'll walk you through it. Let me be your friend.
Okay.
I'm gonna show you what nobody else can.
The only problem with the meditation, I guess, that I've been experiencing doing the meditation is that I've tried it maybe 3 times, and the last time that I tried it, I just got really frustrated.
No, you're trying too hard. Just listen to it. Don't do anything. Just listen to it. Don't see, there's the trying again. You get your fat will out of the way. Just listen to it and see what happens. That's all. Don't try. And the exercise says don't try. Don't expect anything. Just sit. Listen to it. And if you can do it, you do it. And if you can't, you can't. That's all there is to it. Can you do that?
Okay.
Okay, don't expect anything, so call me next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I will do, the next week I will walk you through it in a very interesting way, if you just quietly listen to it and don't expect anything. So
okay.
There's no frustration. Remember, trying is a will that's not yours. Just realize that there's only two wills, and the one that's in you is not your own. It's come from some other place, and it makes you think it's you wanting this and thinking that and making you have bad thoughts. Yeah, it's not you. Something has made a home in you. And this is what psychiatry doesn't understand. And anger keeps it alive, and it keeps challenging you and coming back. And it actually, it's unfinished business. It should never have got inside you in the first place, but you didn't know any better. No one knows. We all come into the world, into a broken world that breaks us. So we all have to go through some of this. See, depending on how sensible you are, the earlier you catch it, the happier you're going to be.
Yeah.
It's all a matter of giving up anger and frustration. That's all. And not trying, and not worrying about what people think, and just being free as a bird. And everything will be fine for you. not for them.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Who's next? Cambridge. Oh, Thomas, you take up the whole program, but I love it. we got a board full of people. You would have to call. But go ahead.
I picked a bad night.
It's a good night. It's a good night, Thomas. But maybe you can cut short this evening because there are others.
I've sent you.
Maybe you can have the rest of the program because we only got about 10 minutes left.
The Prince of Darkness, to give him an actual gnomon there, is the other allegiance, and it's good that you're hitting him hard because the Earth is a penitent state, and Saint Michael, who defeated Satan or Lucifer, the brightest angel, didn't destroy him. He was sent to Earth with all the other fallen angels. If you remember your book of Revelation, John.
Yes, I do. I remember that, and it makes sense. It makes sense of what you see in people.
Well, the interesting thing is if you look at the cosmological clues that we have from the Bible and other inferences, Saint Michael did not slay him. He was unable to, but either exiled him to the earth realm but we know he fell to earth. And something about Lucifer, which we touched upon in our last discussion, and it electrified a number of people who called. And this is what happens when two or more great minds get together and denounce evil. There's a tremendous power that results. You'll be attacked more, but also you'll have greater liberation, and other souls will be freed up. If you remember the old almshouse.
Oh yes, you're right on the money. It's right on the money. You get attacked more, and you get free more. It's true.
Yeah. The old Plantagenet kings used to have almshouses, and people said, "Well, you know, nowadays, what's that for?" Well, they were busy praying away for the health of the realm and for the kings, and there's a lot of benefit. But Satan,
hold the line, Thomas. Sure. Hold the line, Thomas. Just tell him that if he hears that music, it means that we have to fade out. That's all. I don't know. I don't hear. Do people hear that music? I don't think so. All right. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with Thomas, because we'll just finish the program this evening. He's an interesting fellow and has a depth of understanding of things I know. Be right back. Okay, now, this is my time to ask you to support the program, and I need a bigger soapbox. I have been relegated to evening time and from my daytime, where I used to be for many years, but commercial radio's taken over, so I can't afford that time. It's too expensive. So many stations give me time, and some stations are bigger stations I have to buy. And in order for me to be on the radio to help people and to provide services, which we do, it's incumbent upon you to be gracious. And I don't know how to tell you this, but I have to say it once in a while, that there's a part of you that holds back. If somebody came into your home and says, "Look, I got a brother sick, I need some money," and you feel the pressure of it, most of you will not give out of goodness, but give out of pressure. But then, I can give you another example. Somebody comes up in your park and says, "Can you spare a dollar?" Now, you just walk past them, and it's stick your nose in the air, and then you feel uncomfortable, but you get away with it. But sooner or later, someone will do that to you, and you feel the pressure, someone better at it. And you'll feel a pull to give him money, and you haven't helped him because he's thinking to himself, "Sucker, see?" And he's going to spend it on something. And I don't want to do that to you. The church does it to you. And you know, the basket passes around and it keeps coming towards you, and bingo. And there's pressures. There's certain pressures applied so that you make sure you pay your dues and things like that. I don't have anything like that. I want it to come naturally from you out of appreciation. But don't let the dark side spoil it for you. Realize there's a certain obligation you have that's natural. I've helped you. Why don't you pay your light bill without me sending you a notice? An honor system. Okay. That really is therapy. It's better to give than receive. Especially to me, so I can give it to others. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, Thomas, go ahead. I was just reading an email from somebody. It's a very interesting email, but I'll read it tomorrow. Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, by the way, I'm sending you the hard science on the Concord grape. I'm
drinking it, but I can't drink much of it because too many calories for my state.
Right, but I'm going to send you. I'm going to get you the hard science for it.
Oh,
but you know, you're sitting on a veritable gold mine with your all of your work on demons, because it's, if you just rephrase it with in sort of this modern time when demons and angel topics are bestsellers, and repackage it, I know that your books will sell like hotcakes, and you have hard empirical evidence that some of these other people don't have.
Well, I can drive those things out.
Well, that's right, and we, you and I, by speaking about it as knowledgeable sources, we're a threat and a danger, and I like it when you come down and tell the people that you're either giving your allegiance to one or the other.
You are, and always.
And Satan operates. You see, Saint Michael drove Lucifer out of heaven with the other third of the angels. They didn't descend into the lower reaches of heaven. They came to Earth, and Earth is somewhat of a penitent state that man, in either his fallen or pre-fallen state, is also in. And somehow the satanic dark forces, along with man, are working out their problem here.
Yeah, but it has to work through people. So
they
have to. Do you know that a little boy could be all by himself, and something would say to him, "Take that money from dad's table, night table." Something could say that, and you there's nobody around. You know, it's something that casts itself into you when you're alone sometimes.
Well, it can only work in the shadows of the unconscious mind. If we're in consciousness, which is God's brilliant light or the Christos, it can't penetrate.
That's true.
It's easy to say. It's very easy to say. And part of the problem is that civilization has let its guard down. My old college in Cambridge, and I'm not talking about here in America, but back in England, up on the bell tower, we had seven gargoyles holding back the seven deadly sins, and the ugliest gargoyle in the group pointing north, where the satanic forces were supposed to go according to the way the church laid out the college in the 13th century, was the gargoyle of anger for the seventh deadly sin.
Oh, yes.
On the other part of the bell tower, the seven virtues, and guess what the leading virtue was? Patience. Patience and anger in opposition. Now, that's the essence of your philosophy.
Yeah, one is opposite the other. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, that's the essence of your teaching. If you take all of your case studies, which Freud used when he put his logs together, Jung, and you cited the demon cast out. I mean, the casting out of demons, which is of course in the Bible. The fascination that the American public has gone on. We're into a dark age now. The fervent, fertile ground that you were reaping in the 60s and the 70s, along with the residual people from the theosophical and divine science and science of mind, that all burned out. now the interest is into the hardcore stuff of demons and angels and satanic forces, and you know this stuff cold. You have what I only had two experiences. One was an exorcism in Cambridge that almost killed me, that brought on a we had to bring on the Anglican bishop from Cambridge, from Ely, and he had to spend the night in this place where this demon had killed this man, and he came out with a twisted cross. And my batsman was an ex-Royal Navy man, and he got almost knocked in. But you've had thousands of these patients over the years whom you've cast out demons. And that is fertile beyond belief for the world to know this. I envy this talent you have. I have all the scholastic details, and I've had enough experiences to know that it's real. I know this because I've experienced it, but I haven't experienced it at the level you have, and you've successfully have cast them out. This is better than Dan Brown's fantasies and the Da Vinci Code and demons and angels. You're dealing with hard empirical evidence, which are your volumes of patients or subjects.
Well, it's true.
You got something to get busy with. You could mine that, and just think of the benefit you would give to the world. This conversation alone is hopefully giving benefit, because we're breaking the. See, Satan lurks in the dark. And by exposing him as the fraud, the liar, the father of all lies, the deceiver of all things, the creator of every form of corruption, of every deception, of every untruth, that even God is not there, by exposing it and saying it, we are breaking part of that satanic lock, because this is what's... The earth is not a paradise. It's a penitent state for not just man, but also some of the demons.
Well, I don't think we're gonna save them. The reason why, you know, the reason I can tell you the reason why is because the demons don't have a body, and the only way they can do mischief is to get into yours.
Yeah.
And then they can open the doors in other people by intimidating them.
Yes,
see,
exactly.
And seducing them in their various ways. Listen, you've added very much to this program, the intellectual side. To my spiritual, it works very well. Thank you very much. I must go, Thomas. You know how that is with radio.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Okay. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters.
Close your eyes. Okay, now, Thomas is just a brilliant person. He's a studied person, and Mel Tappan, you know, the gentleman that introduces the program every day, he's also a Stanton professor, and he helped me edit this book, How to Conquer Negative Emotions. That's why it's so good. And he was educated like that, but he was a little bit jealous of me. He says, I had a study for this, and you came about it naturally, and it's more relevant that way. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Tomorrow, join me again and get to my website, fhu.com, and support the program with your donations. Thank you. Good night.
On April 20th, 1999, the massacre at Columbine High School took place. On May 1st, 1999, Roy Masters was on Fox Television, and this is what he said.
I was out listening to you the day the shooting broke, and you immediately said they're going to go after the guns.
Yes.
And it became completely realized.
We have legislation by emotion, and the liberal government is using the techniques of emotionalization to rob Americans of their reasoning. In the days of Hitler, the Nazis used to say that Hitler could only be understood by emotion. If you're emotionalized, you saw him clearly as the Führer. But anyone who was reasonable and logical was seen as the enemy. You see the same kind of thing happening in America. We are becoming an emotionally divided country. There are those of us who still retain our sanity and our innocence and our Americanism. But there are those who have been compromised and owe their allegiance to some other force.
Stop being controlled through your emotions. Visit FHU.com. That's FHU.